Yeah, I'm like in the middle of something in my head right now. Good morning. All right, it's 11. Let's rock. 10:59. It's good to be here with everybody. Good to worship with y'all. My name is Casey. I go to River of Life. Hey! I have, a couple times. My wife was shredding the violin. Last time she wasn't up there, but this time she was. We got a couple kids, 5 and 3, so we're amongst the families here. We got a tiny family. Some people got like 48 kids, but we have 2, so whatever. Where are we going to go? What are we going to do here? Well, let's pray. That's probably a good place to start. Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, thank you for being with us. Father, thank you for your son who broke the barrier between us and you, who paid the full price so that we could know you, you could know us, and there would be no obstacle between us, that we could commune with you and that you could build your house here among us, with us, in us, now and all eternity. Father, be with us, continue to be with us as we look at your word. Lord, shape our hearts. May the eyes of our hearts be opened. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and wide open hearts that can hear you, who are ready to be changed and obey your word and walk into the calling that you have for us. In Jesus' name. One additional announcement, actually. There was a survey that went out. Just going to do a shameless plug for the survey. It's no shame anyway, so a shameful plug? No. There was a survey that was emailed out. I don't know. It links you to the app or whatever, but there was a request for a spot to give feedback and to answer some questions to provide input on some things. So please fill it out. If you don't fill it out, it's like don't voting, don't complain. It's like not voting. People don't vote and then they complain about it. It's like, well, you know, you had your shot. But fill that out. The 14th was today. The 12th, 2 days left. Time's ticking. So check that out, please. We're transitioning. I don't know if we're transitioning, but, you know, coming out of a meeting that we had with me, Daryl, Paul, and Paul, and also out of that bodybuilders meeting, you know, we had been talking a lot about grow. Like, you know, there's this general theme where we want to grow in Christ. And we're all like, yeah. But what does it really mean to be mature, to grow in maturity, to grow in Christ, to grow and look more like him day after day after day, week after week, year after year? And so we kind of got this sense that that's where we're headed. You know, we had talked about a little bit about roots a couple weeks ago. And I think Paul in that meeting, Pablo, what's up, dude? I like that. I mean, that's how we distinguish the Pauls. We got Paul, we got Pablo. Not to be confused with Pueblo, which means town. But he hit the nail on the head when he's like, you know what we're really after in this life? And it's transformation. And it sounds easy, right? We're all like, ah, we want to change, we want to do better, we want to be better, we want to look more like Christ, we want to show Christ to the world, we want all of that stuff. And we're not all going to look the same, right? Like, people have, it doesn't mean conformity, it doesn't mean we all have the same accent, it doesn't mean we all look the same, it doesn't mean we all talk the same, it doesn't mean any of that stuff. But it means that we're moving closer towards the image that we were created in, because we are like this lump of clay that God is molding. And there's a very corporate sense of this, where the you know, this is the body of Christ. And we say that, we're like, oh yeah, the body. It's like a group of people, like congregation. But there's something a lot deeper, maybe we'll get into this, not today, but where the body looks like Jesus, where it takes actually many people working together, having those characteristics in and of themselves, where he is the head and the body looks like him. But there's also a very individual sense of this, right? Where we have a responsibility like in our lives to say, you know, how do we do this? How do we obey better? How do we be more transformed and become more like him so that fill in the blank? And I'll fill in the blank in just a second. But I think we're in this season where we're transitioning out of a season into a new season here at River of Life, where we need to make sure that we're rooted and grounded and our focus is in the appropriate place, and that we really look at these scriptures and we say, this is really hard for so many reasons, but it's not me who lives, it's Christ in me. And it's something that he's doing here, and it's something that he's doing in me, that now I am growing towards the end goal of my life, towards conformity to the image of his son, in which we were created. We were created in the image of God. We're going to end looking like him as a body, but also individually. Now, that's what we're going to probably talk about over the next handful of weeks, plus or minus Christmas, New Year's, stuff like that. But before we get there, today I just like to make sure we're all on the same page and lay a foundation that is very fundamental but very necessary, because we can approach this and then we can read, you know, the fruits of the Spirit and be like this, this, and this. I don't have enough love. I don't have enough joy. I don't have enough peace. Or we can point at people and say, you don't have enough love. You don't have enough joy. You got work to do. You got to be better. You're supposed to be Christ-like. I thought you would be better than that. And we're like, oh, we look right before that in Galatians where it talks about the works of the flesh, and it's like immorality, impurity, all these other things. And it's like, ah. And we have this tension of like, we want to do the right things, because everything that Christ did in thought, in word, and in deed was just perfect. It was perfect. He was without sin. He was the perfect man. He was the only one who could represent all of mankind and bear the full punishment, the only one who did not deserve death and yet faced death so that we who deserve death could have life. And so this perfect man, we're like, oh, we're just going to do it like Jesus does it. And we should. And that is an avenue that and a path that needs to be explained. So we can be more Christ-like, so that we can be better men, we can be better husbands, we can be Christ-like fathers, we can be Christ-like brothers, we can be Christ-like women, you know, not me, but you. We can be Christ-like women and sisters and mothers and friends and servants and members of the body, and we can be Christ-like in our community, and we can be Christ-like to our children, and we can be Christ-like in our places of employment, and we can be Christ-like with our money, and we can be Christ-like with all of these different things. Now, there's a lot to that, and there's different avenues of all of these things and things to do and things to not do. But maybe a more New Testament way to approach that is not to go with a list of rules and regulations, because that's the law. Now, the law is good. I was reading in 1 Timothy chapter 1. I was like, Daryl, we're going to Genesis. And I'm like, Genesis. You can just listen, follow along. 1 Timothy, where he says, Paul is writing to Timothy. The goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. For some men, straying from these things, have turned aside to fruitless discussion, wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either what they are saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions. So these people want to be teachers of the law and say, you got to do this. You got to stop doing this. And in this environment right here, we go, yeah. A lot of the times we go, yeah, we want to stop doing this. Yes, it's obvious that this is wrong. And yes, we want to start doing that. And it's obvious that that's right. But tomorrow, But there needs to be transformation so that tomorrow it's long-lasting, and that the things that we do are not out of strain or out of pressure or out of any of these things, but they're actually out of who we are inside that these good deeds come forth. Because the next verse he says, but we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, realizing the fact that the law is not made for righteous person, but those who are lawless and rebellious. And so we need the law. We do need to understand who God is and what he asks of us and all of these things. But it becomes overbearing rather than life-giving when inside we're fighting that tension, because we want to do the lawless things and then we're presented with the law. We're presented with, actually, here's how we should act. And we go, you know what? We start to justify and we start to say, well, you know, in this case, it's kind of an exception. And it's like, we toe the line and we try and get around it rather than saying, actually, a greater narrative in the New Testament is one of grace, pursuing grace, grace pursuing us, and pursuing the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because out of those things, and focusing on those things, and understanding those things, and coming from a place of those things, can we absorb what we need to hear and let that change us, because God is working in us. Okay, so let me give you two scriptures and we'll talk about these two things and then we'll sing a song, Happy Day. No, we're not singing Happy Day. I would love to sing Happy Day. Oh, Happy Day, Happy Day. You washed my sin away. Y'all know it. Next week, come back. Come back. Just kidding. I'm not in charge of that department. 2 Peter, we'll do like the first three verses and then the last verse. A bondservant, it got me, that cough got me. Y'all know that cough. To those who have received faith of the same kind of ours and by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus, our Lord. And even if you look at the epistles of Paul in the beginning of, you know, Romans, the Corinthians, all of these, he says, Paul, an apostle, bondservant of Jesus Christ. And then the next thing that he says to all of these groups is grace to you. Grace to you. And as we, you know as it's very easy to hear that and go, yeah. But then why is it such a supreme topic in the New Testament? And it's because if we hear all of these things, like you look at the book of Ephesians, the first three chapters of Ephesians, should read them this week, and then if we could summarize them, it is the glorious gospel of Jesus. And it's this idea that this perfect man bore our sins, and that God looked at him and said, you know what? You're good now. It's this swap. It's this, we were dead and the perfect man died for us. And now we've been raised to life and live the life that he lives. That's the first three chapters. And then 4-6. Now, because of that, here's how you should live. Here's how you should do church. Here's how you should do family. Here's how you should do all of these things. But if we start in the wrong order, if we just start hammering, hey, here's what we're going to do, here's what we're going to do, here's what we're going to do, it could be biblically correct. Okay? Yes? No? We good? I'm just talking to myself up here. No, I'm not. Oh, there's people. Sorry. This makes sense, right? Okay. And so we can start with all of these things in there, or, you know, pick your book. Here's what you got to do. And it's like, yes, yes. And we will talk about that. But before that, we approach this from a place of pursuing grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the last verses in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse Well, let's start at 17. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you're not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow in this grace. Grow in this knowledge of him. And we don't ever leave it. We don't ever stray from this, because this is what our entire spiritual life hinges on. The fact that there is, the fact that he does this work, the fact that he is the one who, while we were dead, we can't make ourselves alive. The fact that he made us alive, and the fact that he began a good work in us and is going to see it through to completion. And so we need to grow in this grace continually, over and over and over. And I think, you know, in John 3, when John the Baptist is talking and he's like, listen, somebody, we're praying it this morning, I think Alice in the beginning, I must decrease, but he must increase. So over time, we're just like, Lord, pour yourself into me. Show more of yourself through me. And God's not a puppet, right? We can't be like, you do this, God, and then all of a sudden, sometimes there's instantaneous miracles like that. But this type of progression of growing in Christ-likeness, becoming more mature, actually, it's like we decrease. It's like less of us and more of you. Less of what I want to do and more of what you want. Less of what I want to happen and more of what you want to happen. And we're like, oh yeah, that's really good. But this tension inside of us should be a heart that is so for that, rather than it being, oh yeah, more of what you want, God. You know what I'm saying? You have those prayers? Yeah, you guys do. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's a funny way to do it, I guess. I don't know what you're laughing at. How real it is or how funny I am. This is just my face. A friend of mine told me once, he goes, you have the face for radio. And I go, wow, thank you. And then I walked away and I was like, hey, wait a second, pal. Now, the pinnacle of this grace, the pinnacle of this grace, yes, is the cross. This is how we know for sure that God is for us, because he did not spare his best. He did not spare his son. He gave his only begotten son to do the job that we couldn't do. And we continually come back to the cross. We continually come back to that to say, this is how we know. This is so real. This is where Jesus died in agony, and where our sins were paid for, and where wrath was poured out on him that we deserved, so that now there's no barrier between us and God, so that his favor continually pours out on us. So there's only good towards us, because God doesn't look at us and keep any record of wrong. He doesn't look at us and say, oh, okay, yeah, that was forgiven, but I forgave it back then, but you did it again, and now here we go. And it's like, no, this is the pinnacle of grace. But how does that apply in every area of our life? How does that apply, how does that apply on Monday morning? And grace isn't something where we go, oh yeah, it's all good, bro. And then we try and forget about it. It's like somebody sins against you and you're like, there's grace, we're good. It's a much more encompassing idea than just being able to move on from a conflict, or just not wanting to hurt somebody after a conflict, or something like that. Because God's grace is wholly what we depend on. Grace to you. It's like, why? Dude, I don't need grace. I'm good. And it's like, okay, here's an exercise. Everybody take a breath in and out. And then we think, where did that breath come from? And we go, oh, well, the air in this room and the lungs. And obviously, over time, blah, 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 blah. And you work your way back and you go, it was a gift from God. And so we can't even breathe without the grace of God. And we continue to move forward in our own strength and might and not saying, no, Lord, I need your grace. I need your favor in this situation. I need your favor to go before me. I need your favor to work in me in these situations. I'm reading this book, and it was like this this guy goes on this rampage about grace and how in conflicts and even when we examine ourselves, we need God's grace there. And when he was, you know, when, okay. So if you know somebody who is not a Christian and you're not saved and they're doing wrong things, whatever that's like, they have a lifestyle that's against the character of God. And you go, hey, dude, like, what are you doing? And they go, ha ha ha, having fun, just doing me, blah, blah, blah. What we have to realize is that their eyes are even blinded to the lifestyle that they're living, right? Their eyes are blind that they're hurting themselves and their family and other people, and they're not, you know, they're not living in a godly way. But that's what people of the world do, right? Like the world is kind of, it's a selfish, it's an evil place, and people are under this guise and this umbrella where they're just like stuck. They're stuck in their ways. They're stuck in selfishness. And like, I want to get out. Oh, I don't want to get out. It's a lot of fun. We partied last night. We're going to party tomorrow night. We're going to party every night or whatever it is. And you're like, you're just like hurting yourself and they can't see it. But that's exactly why they need God's grace. Yes, to come alive, but also to see themselves for who they truly are. Now, even more so, do we need that grace to open our eyes and see who we truly are? And in this situation, we're like, no, bro, we'll move past it. Yeah, that's great. But also we need the grace to see, hey, is there something in me that needs to be changed in order to be conformed to who Jesus is? Did I approach that appropriately? Maybe there's no external consequences, but it takes grace for your eyes to be open to see the areas, and we need grace to be transformed. We need God's favor to make that change in our, to be, in Romans, it talks about, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. This idea of becoming a new person by the renewing of our mind. We need to learn new things. We need to not only just like learn about who God is, but we need to learn about who we are in order to have those upgrades made and apply the things that we need to apply in order to be more Christ-like. But we need to see those things. And if we can't see them, and we have the scales and we're blinded. Do you see what I'm saying? And so God's grace is required for us to even see ourselves for who we really are and where we need him. You see what I'm saying? Grace to us. God, give us grace. More grace. More grace. Because then the law, it's not that it's inappropriate from us, but it becomes a place of joy for us. Where we're like, I can see how this, you know, I changed my page, but I can see how this is, I'm an immoral person in this area. God, thank you for showing me, but greater than that, Lord, thank you for your grace there. But God, give me your grace and your unmerited favor so that I can change, so that I can be changed here. So we need grace to see. We need grace to deal with it. We need grace for humility. We need grace for hard conversations. We need grace for breakthroughs. Like, how hard can you work for a breakthrough? It's a matter of spiritual consequence. It's not a matter of how hard you work. We need grace and his favor, and we need to say, we need that. We 100% need that. It can only be by your grace, God. It can only be by your spirit. It can only be by that we can even move a little bit closer to who you've called us to be. This is like the Cain and Abel story. This is like when God had regard for Abel's sacrifice, Genesis 4. Abel was a keeper of flocks, verse 2 to 8. Abel was a keeper of flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it." Cain told Abel his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. And I guess my point here is that this, he showed favor and he had regard for Abel and his sacrifice. And when Cain brought it, he had no regard. But see, Cain's reaction was like, ah, like now he's angry and his countenance fell. But may we not have that attitude when we go, oh, but I thought this is what you wanted, God, and it doesn't work out that way. May we turn and say, no, Lord, have grace upon me and show me how to improve here. Show me another path, Lord. I know that you love me and I know that your face does not turn from me because of the cross. Now, Lord, have that favor on me in this situation. Let our countenance not fall when we stumble, but let our countenance rise to the cross and say, no, we need more of that. Change us so that we can be more like him. Now, the other thing, so we grow in grace constantly. And we grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is like an impossible topic. It'll take all of eternity to mine this out. But for from him and through him and to him are all things. Yes? I'll read it for you. Romans chapter 11, verse 36. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. What does this tell us? For from him, all things were created by him. Through him, nothing exists that does not have a tie to him. And to him, everything has a purpose, his purpose, because it is to him. Yes? Now, we can go buck wild here and be like, I got a flat tire. Lord, what does this mean? And we can be like, ah, you know, sometimes we got a flat tire. Lord, thank you for the flat tire. But on other times, like, who knows? Dan, you guys here last week when Dan shared that story? He was like, I got to go return a package to the Amazon warehouse. Was that last week? You don't know. I wasn't even here. Yeah? Whatever. Sometime in the past, this guy Dan told a story. Is Dan here? No. Okay. But he had to return a package to the Amazon thing in Nashua, the Amazon place, and he leaves, and he's like, ah, the Holy Spirit prompts him. He's like, you know, you get a defective thing or the wrong size or the wrong whatever, and you got to return it. You're like, this is annoying. But from him and through him and to him are all things. See, there's a purpose in all of these things. And he goes and he talks to the guy there and he speaks life into the worker there and tears were welling up. And it's like our lives are from him and through him and to him and everything else. And so we need to understand what the purpose, you know, the purpose of everything is. If from the big to the little, like we have this role to be conformed to him. And how can we be him in this situation? What is he like in this situation? What is Jesus like as a friend? What is Jesus like as a brother? We see Jesus like as God. And we need to know more and more and more and more and grow in the knowledge of him. And we can study. And we need to study. We need to continually read this, you know, from Genesis to Revelation over and over and over. Because, by the way, he's on the left side of the book too, right? Like, you know the promised land that everybody was trying to get, Israel was trying to get into? The promised land was a person. It was the place represented a person. The place of rest actually was a foreshadow of a person of rest. So Jesus is this promised land where we can rest. Well, what does that mean? How does he provide rest? when the Israelites were wandering through the desert, water, you know, Moses was supposed to, actually twice, he hit the rock, and the next time he's supposed to speak to the rock, but water comes out of this rock. It's like water from a rock? Well, Jesus, the cornerstone, rivers of living water flow out of him. So we look at this and we go, oh, he is this rock. And we read this and we go, oh, what are all of these pictures of him? What does this tell us about him? How does this is his revelation of God to man so that we can understand it in a language that our brains work in. And then how do we experience that? Lord, what are you doing in this situation? What are you showing me in this situation? At the end of a day, do you take the time and just like sit down and not doom scroll? But do you sit down in a quiet time and you go, let me think about my day. Lord, let's think about my day. Thank you for all these things. Lord, were you showing me anything today? Did I miss anything? Can we go back and can we review it? Was there anything that you'd like to highlight, Lord? And then you go, And he'll show you things. Because he desires to be known. He desires to be known. He desires to reveal himself to us, so that we can know him and that we can trust him. And because the more that we know him, the more it makes sense for us to be conformed, to be like him. And the more that we see, XYZ, Jesus was compassionate. And we go, but for those people, really? And we walk out into the world and we go, guy's a bum. It's like, would Jesus do that? Or would he have compassion on these people who are like lost sheep and be like, I want to give my life to you people. I want to give my life to these people who they're just like lost sheep. And so we can approach it from a stance of, here's what we're going to do. Big movement. We're all going to go out. We're all going to find lost sheep and have compassion on them, right? And we're like, this is what you got to do. But an organic expression of who Jesus is from the body of Christ and as of us individually requires us to grow in grace and to grow in the knowledge of him so that when we hear these things, we go, that's in me. I didn't know that was in me, but that's in me. And our deeds and our acts and how we treat our family and how we treat each other and how we do all of these things come out of expression of who he's building in us. This is quite frustrating. Yes? We got two. We got two yeps. I get frustrated all the time because I'm like, why is it so slow? Why? Like, is it you? Is it me? It's definitely not you. So it's me. Jesus tells this parable. He says, the kingdom of God, Mark chapter 4, verse 26, to 29. Got big ears, man. He goes, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. Just out there chucking seed around. And he goes to bed at night and gets up by day, every day. Plant the seed, go to bed, and he wakes up. And the seed sprouts. 5 days, 8 days, 2 weeks, whatever. And the seed sprouts and grows. How? He himself does not know. The soil then produces the head, then the mature grain in the head. And it's like, while we're pursuing him and making him the object of everything that we do, because from him and through him and to him are all these things, is everything, is our being. Everything hinges on him sustaining us in all areas. We grow and we don't know how. And in a day, in a week, we might see a little bit. But then in 5, 10 years, we're like, oh, you know what? I read this many years ago, but now it's different. Now it's a part of me. Oh, how is it a part of me? It's like a man who sheds seed on the ground. And every day we go to bed and we wake up, but it starts to sprout and it starts to blossom. Because we're somehow now we're automatically doing the things that God wants us to do. In the beginning, it's kind of like we're just mechanically doing it maybe, but then eventually it just becomes a part of us because we're like, God, I want to do this. Change me. Show me favor so that I can grow like this. Show me who you are in this situation so I can be more like you. Now this is, you know, this is the pursuit of our life. This is going to be this is our continual pursuit as we attempt to grow and become like him and grow in maturity and grow up and put ourselves in a position where God can use us to bear fruit. Now this is, you know, we study this in here Sunday mornings, but this is a daily thing that we need to take up. This is like, I was listening to somebody, a speaker a couple days ago, and he was at a conference and he was like, you know, in these situations, the worship is so powerful. The worship's amazing. The worship is so just like, you want to fall on your face. And that, like, we have that here. Like, it's good. Like, the drummer today was amazing. God. Just kidding. Yeah, that's right. I must decrease, he must increase. Lord, give me clean hands. It's a lot of fun. And it's good. It's great. Whatever. The worship here is amazing because our heart is like, we just want to glorify him and we want to seek his face. And we're just, I don't know. You guys get moved? Were you moved this morning? Yeah. But how's your worship Tuesday morning? Suze, she goes, good. Great. It should be of the same thing because it's not just the sound and the tech here. It's, does this God live in me? And when I sing by myself in the shower or without music, am I just in so much awe to be able to sing to the Creator, to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords, to express my gratitude and my love and my thankfulness and everything else, because it's through him and to him and for him that I exist. And when we come together corporately, we bring all of that here. And listen, if it's not, I get it. We've all been there. I totally get it. But this is why we pursue grace. Say, Lord, just meet me here. Can you meet me here? Can you just reveal your son to me? And when we look at the cross, like, there's some days where maybe you well up with tears and some days you're like, eh. But Lord, show us what that is. Show us what the cross means. Give us more grace and more favor to just see that and experience that. And then as we come together, it's out of the overflow of our worship throughout the week that we come here and we, you know, rip it from the frame. But it requires like everything throughout the week. And being like growing in Christ and growing in maturity, it's less dependent on any person and it's more dependent on him. Like there's old school thinking, you know, when people couldn't read and write, it'd be like, oh, well, we're going to get together and we'll read the scriptures because there just weren't a lot of Bibles before Gutenberg. You know what I'm saying? Y'all know who Gutenberg is? Yeah, he invented the printing press, and then it was like, why? To print the Bible and get it everywhere. But before that, come together in a time and all that, and people just feast on that, and then what would it be like? Well, we have that throughout the week. We have worship music at our fingertips throughout the week. We have all of that. And it's like, is it in us to do that and pursue that? And if not, like, you can't muster enough up to get it. Like, it has to be given to us. And it has to be continually given to us because we're in a world that bombards us with distractions. I was talking to Eli last night, and he's like, we approach, you know, pretty much in summary. He's going to be like, oops, not exactly what I said. Sorry, bro. But... But he was saying, like, we approach these environments that we go into like they're hostile. Like, when we open up our phone, we go on social media, And we can do all of these things to try and make it as much Christian-y as we can, but there's still a company on the other side that wants something from us that is not godly. They want us to do something that may not be down the path of God's best. Like, we're in a hostile environment when we turn on the radio or we go into all these places, but it's not that which shapes us. It's like what's in us that comes out in those environments. And so it needs to be given to us, but we can get distracted because we are fleshly beings. And there are things that we like that feel good, and we're like, just a little bit, and then we fall over a little bit too much. But it's God's grace that keeps us. It's God's grace that puts us right back on the right path. And it's saying, you know what? No, this is not who Jesus is. We need to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, day in and day out, not just here. So you can't rely on Sunday mornings. And I'm not saying anybody does. And I'm not saying that, whatever. I'm not saying that anybody does. But what I'm saying is, in and of themselves, like, we cannot expect to accomplish what we need to accomplish in this world if it's not a daily thing, because it's in us. It's not something that we need to take from this environment. Okay? We all go through different seasons. But let's be encouraged to pursue Him and to pursue grace first and foremost as we do the work to grow in maturity and Christ-likeness. Okay. Let's respond. We're going to sing a song. We're going to sing Cornerstone. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, Paul writes, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. Listen, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, things that are just like regular, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. And so the things that we do in this world, the things that we do in this life as we continue on this path towards Christ-likeness and maturity, it's not out of our strength. It's not out of, you know, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. It's not out of this book over here, this idea over here, this cultural thing over here, this thing over here. Everything has to be built on the man, on the God, Jesus Christ, because He is the cornerstone. He is the one. He's the beginning, and everything is built around Him. And in our lives, everything has to be built around Him. And we pursue, we grow in this knowledge of Him, and we grow in His grace. We pursue those things. We continually return to Him and His work. And it's only because that He came to this earth, He lived the perfect life, He died a death that we deserved, that now we can be used as vessels by God to impact the world and to live according to His calling. Amen? So let's respond and just be reminded that He is the foundation on which we build our life. And He is the one, He is the first one, and we want to be built on the foundation of Him for God's purpose. For everything is from Him, through Him, and to Him. Amen. Well, let's pray real quick. Well, God, we thank You for this morning. Lord, beyond any measure of love that we have for You, any honor, anything we can muster up for You, Your love for us exceeds everything. Your grace for us exceeds everything. Your mercy towards us exceeds everything. And we need more of You. We want to grow in You. Let our foundation be built upon you, Jesus. God, would you pour out your grace on us? Give us grace to see what we can't see in this world, in ourselves. And God, give us grace to let your grace work in us to make us anew, to make us more like you. Holy Spirit, would you just testify in our hearts about who Jesus is? Holy Spirit, would you reveal more about who the Son is? About how it was his joy to pay the price. How much he loves us. Holy Spirit, would you testify in our hearts and show us areas where we can be more like him? Can you show us how to pray? Can you show us what to pray? Can you show us where to spend time with you? Lord, show us right now places in our home where we can rest with you. Show us right now some habits that have got a hold of our life that you want to break. Lord, our flesh is weak, but our spirit, because it's alive, because it's in you, is strong. Lord, let our spiritual strength overcome any sort of fleshly habits, any sort of wrong thinking that we've picked up along the way. Let us be transformed. God, do a work in us. Transform us. We don't want to be done. You're not done. We want to be more like you. We want to see more of you. We want to experience more of you. But we can't make it. We need you to move, God. We need you to move. Help us to obey. Lord, give us hearts that can do nothing but obey. Give us that desire to obey. The desire to obey your calling and your will for us. Our hope rests in you, Jesus. Amen.
Jesus' blood and righteousness. darkness seems to hide his face. I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil.
Come on.
Christ alone.